last time on Poochie Schmoochie.
Into your future.
I've been having crazy dreams.
Go.
Oh no!
Poochie,
no.
Don't talk. Don't talk.
Poochie, what's up?
Oh my god, it's in blood.
And now, this week, on Poochie.
I couldn't hear anything he said.
Crack a can of coffee. White as midnight that someone poured a bunch of cream into. With a dollop of foam for the moon. Okay, all right, okay. Oh, nothing like a can of coffee. There are things better than a can of coffee, but there's nothing quite like it. Like I said, this was Bob Poochie. This is going to be a tough show for me today. We lost someone very important today. Or yesterday, Bob Uecker, the baseball player, broadcaster, actor, passed away yesterday. So it's been a tough day in the Bucci household. Every day is a tough day in the Bucci household, but that day was even tougher. My wife came home, found me in the bath with my clothes on. She said, "Oh no, did Bob Uecker die?" Yes. Yes, he did. He curse word did. But I have enjoyed the Bob Uecker tributes that I've been hearing on Bob WFMU. It has been a bomb to Bucci's emotions. I heard so many. Mona was playing so many clips from Major League. Of course, Joe Magasco's Wacky World of Sports montage. I think Toddaphonic Todd has a Mr. Belvedere set planned for Saturday. And also, if I'm reading this text message correctly, David Lynch died, passed away. The artist, musician, filmmaker. He died yesterday. He was 78 years old, which is a long time for someone who smoked for 77 years. But still too soon. Still a little bit too soon. Sorry, I'm just wiping a tear from my dress shirt. The tears are falling down and dripping onto my dress shirt and forming a word. And that word is Bucci.
Bucci.
It's just one of the skills my eyes have. So yeah, how do I talk about David Lynch? People who are Bucci's therapist knows that I've been having a hard time since yesterday putting my feelings into words about this guy. He was very important to me, as he was to many people. He, you know, like many people, his art changed the way that I thought about art. Didn't know you could make art like this. Before, I was like, you could probably just make art like Robert Zemetrix. Is that it? Robert Zemetrix? Zemetics? I don't know. I'm like, yeah, that's the peak artist. That heavy makeup that they put in Biff Tannen in Back to the Future 2. That's art. And then, you know, you're introduced to Lynch and his art, and it's like, oh man, he took the heavy face makeup off of Biff Tannen from Back to the Future 2 and slapped it on a canvas. And he wrote Teenage Dream underneath it. Like, man, I didn't know you could make art like that. And of course, his films. My father, my last father, loved him. He introduced me to his films at a young age, so my memories of David Lynch are tied up in my feelings about my father, which are positive feelings. No matter what people on the chat over there at WFMU.org say, they're always saying I had a poor relationship with my father, which is why the show is like it is. They don't know what they're talking about. I loved my father. Is that a Bucci adage? It's not? So my father recorded Twin Peaks when it was on VHS, the whole thing. And my brothers and I would watch it repeatedly all summer long, all year long, all the summer. We weren't going outside and we weren't riding around on horses like all my other friends were. Like, Bucci was in the furnished basement watching Twin Peaks, thrilling to the antics of all the characters, Audrey and Billy Zane, Dick Tremaine and Little Nicky, of course, James and Evelyn. And we couldn't wait. We could not wait to find out who was going to be Miss Twin Peaks. We were like, who's going to be? This is like such a nail biter. And like, oh, it's Heather Graham. That makes sense. because she was very pretty.
Gulp.
Yeah, so we wore those tapes out. And my mother had just eventually threw them away because we were watching them so much and not learning social skills. I went to like my mother, my current mother, and I said, "Where's the Twin Peaks VHSs?" And she said, "What are you talking about?" It was almost very Lynchian. She's like, "There are no Twin Peaks. There are no Twin Peaks VHSs. What are you talking about?" So yeah, I that's what I spent a lot of my time, which explains exactly nothing about the kind of person Bucci grew up to be. I did base my high school personality on a character from the show, Bobby Briggs's friend Mike. I love that character. I kind of identified with that character, in my family, in that I was important at first as the firstborn, but then I got phased out as, when my brothers were born. So I always related to that 30-year-old teenager. And then when Twin Peaks The Return came out, I was constantly, my father was right in my mind, right at the forefront of my mind, and I was thinking, oh my God, he would have loved it, Would have loved the Dougie storyline. So watching that was a very melancholy experience for Bucci. Just a melancholy crow on a melancholy barren wasteland, I guess.
Bucci.
That's a Bucci
adage.
And then when I was, like, way too young, I think I was probably 13 years old, my dad showed me Blue Velvet, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's not exactly for 13-year-olds. But he made me put my face in a pillow over the violent or sexy parts. Or not sexy. That movie's not sexy. I mean, the whatever, you quote sex scenes. I have to stop saying sex. But he put my face in a pillow and fast-forward it when something like nightmarish was happening. And which is a lot, like I said, a lot of that movie is a nightmare. And it's funny, like I came to see the darkness of the pillow as sort of a nightmare place as well. Like the deep, soft, dark. My face in there. And I'm just imagining what I'm missing. And then when I grew up and I watched the whole movie, I found out what I was missing. I was like, yeah, can I please go back to the pillow? This is very, very unsettling. Why does Kyle MacLachlan's character, what's his name, Jeffrey, why does he, when he breaks into Dorothy's house for the first time, why is he using the restroom? It just shows what a deviant that guy is. He's like, he breaks into to her house, and then the first thing he does is go to the bathroom. And speaking of her, my first crush was Isabella Rossellini, not in Blue Velvet, that would be inappropriate, but her role in Wild at Heart, that look she had in that movie, the dyed blonde hair and the jet black eyebrows. And people who get drunk with Bucci know that his second crush was Richard Farnsworth from The Straight Story. But Lynch introduced me to a lot, so much, that is very formative. Like the Alphabet, Elephant Man, Eraserhead. Maybe not Elephant Man, but Eraserhead and the Alphabet, the grandmother, they introduced me to, like, just the avant-garde, the concept. Again, I'm living in Back to the Future 2 land, where I think the avant-garde means, that scene where, all the time loops are in it. Industrial Symphony Number 1 introduced me to the concept of industrial symphonies. In Inland Empire, I found out that William H. Macy was in Inland Empire, which I didn't know that. before I watched Inland Empire, and then I did. I was like, oh, interesting. He must have had a day off or something. And of course, dreams. In a way, David Lynch introduced me to dreams. Like the idea that life is a dream, but who is the dreamer, right? Right? That's the question. I mean, I know who it is.
Bucci.
It's Bucci. Bucci's the dreamer, and he dreams you up every Friday. I'm talking to you right now. You are my dream. And also, he dreams that he's sitting in Studio A here at WFMU, but he can't move his mouth, and so there's a bunch of dead air, and station manager Ken rushes in and starts shaking him, and I wake up and vomits all over my chest. That's another dream I have. Oh, another one is me and Bob Uecker are hanging out, and I'm in the booth while he's calling the Brewers game, and he says, "Hey, Bucci, you want to call the next inning?" And I say, "Do I?" And then I wake up with vomit on my chest. Yeah, he just made me want a dream cooler and made me want to interpret my dreams. So I started, like, going within myself, retreating into myself, which didn't exactly help the social skills, which were already stunted. So, tonight, actually, I want to hear about your dreams. I want you to tell me what you dream. Who are you in your dream? What do you see? What do you feel when you see? I want you to call in and tell me this dream that haunts you. But not too dark, though. I can hear everybody dialing like, oh, I can't wait to tell Bucci some horrible thing, that a violent dream that I have. No, not too dark. This isn't Fire Walk with Me. This is the straight story. Man, my friend once had a Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me watch party, so she invited all these people. All these different people, and we were sitting around watching it, just like having a great time. And the first third of that movie was going great. It's weird, it's light, it's funny, it's kind of like the Twin Peaks season one, very, very reminiscent of that. Kiefer Sutherland? Yeah, Sutherland. He's pretty good in it. Chris Isaac. So we're just swooning to that part. But boy, oh boy, that second half of that movie. A lot of darkness, which I had forgotten about. And so we're watching this, horror show, and the party, which was boisterous before, it just sort of got very silent and quiet, and we put away our pies and our owl masks and our Wyndham Earl flutes, and we just sat there, sat in it, watching the horrible things that were happening to Laura Palmer, who is a teenager! Just because she's played by a 38-year-old, you forget that she's a teenager. All these people are teenagers. Why aren't they in school? There is one, the pilot episode of Twin Peaks, they're all in school, and then there's no more school. What is going on? That principal of that high school, Principal Walchek, who has a great scene in the pilot, he never shows up again. Everyone's just straight up dissing Principal Walchek. Anyway, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. What my point was, I don't want to hear any horrible nightmare dream of yours. Make it a dream. What about a dream that you have? I know you do, because you hit me up on Instagram, Bucci Nights, and you say, "Oh, I had a dream that I'm going to the dentist." Right? And the dentist looks into my mouth, and my mouth starts humming, and groaning. Oh, moaning and groaning. You fall down into the mouth. And you live in your mouth. And it's just you in your belly. Just you and a middle-aged woman with a cigarette in her mouth. You're just looking at each other. Or the dream where you're sitting in a room and you look across the room and you see yourself sitting across the room too. And then you blend into the wallpaper and the person across from the room takes your place. But you don't have to have any, like, you don't have, these are, the, you don't make me limit you. These don't have to be Lynchian dreams. You can have a Snydering dream, a Zack Snydering dream, where everything has a tan filter over it and you're kicking, like kicking in slow motion, or a Spike Lee-ian dream, where you're wearing a Brooklyn Dodgers a jersey and you're on a dolly gliding through Brooklyn. Or it can be like your bog standard recurring dream where you get a new pair of sneakers and that's it. That's how it happens. And if your dreams could include Bucci in some way, that would be great. I hope that they do. And I don't want to press you, but I would hope that they do. So, that's after the break. So, right now, we're going to listen to a song by David Lynch from his great album, Crazy Clown Time. It's Stones Gone Up. Only on WFMU. The bugs are eating the robin tonight, my friends. We can't stop until the robin returns.
Don't forget to call in on the topic. The topic of the day is...
Dream with Bucci.
So call in with your response now. 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. One more time, 201-209-9368. And give Bucci your answer now. Now, back to the music. Music. Bucci.
Hey, it's Bucci. We are back. We're talking dreams. Can you hear me? We're talking dreams today. I want to hear your dream. I want to hear your recurring or one-time dream that's haunted you. In honor of David Lynch and Bob Uecker, who can dream no more, let's dream for them. But who dreams the dreamer? I'll tell you who it is. It's Bucci. Caller, you have Bucci. Hey, hello, who's this?
We're back. We're talking dreams.
This sounds like...
We're talking dreams today.
Stop ringing.
Hello, hey, who's this?
But I'm not.
That was so Lynchy, and I heard my own voice reflected back on me.
I can't tell if I'm one or not.
Okay, caller, you got Bucci.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, who's this? Can you hear me there? Caller, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I can hear you.
This is such a horrible way to start the show. All right, what's your name there, buddy?
My name is Sweet Pea.
Hey, Sweet Pea. All right, Sweet Pea, do you want to talk about a dream that you've had?
A dream. I've had a dream or two, but nothing that I can remember lately.
Okay. So, called the show without having a dream, or am I, are you...
Yeah, yeah, I used to have this recurring dream about being in college and not going to class and showing up for the final exam, and the professor saying, hey, you haven't been to class all year. How do you expect to be here to take a final? But that was a recurring dream. I just called in. That's all. Called in. I'm listening.
What happened? What else happened in the dream? Do you remember anything else?
I remember going to class like twice in the year early and then showing up for the final, and the dream became a nightmare. It's a nightmare. It's something I wake up, I would wake up to.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty good dream there, Sweet Pea. You know who's my dream? It's you are, my dream caller. Just because you're my dream caller doesn't mean that I have any positive feeling about you. I can't love every dream that I have. Right. Caller, you got Bucci.
Booch!
Hey, who's
so
this?
So happy I got through. Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Wilson.
Hey, Wilson.
I'm calling from scenic South Orange, New Jersey.
Oh, wonderful. What's your dream there? Well, do you have one, or are you like Sweet Pea, where you're just dialing numbers until you get a DJ?
Nope, I'm calling about the dreams. And
okay,
no, Rafi, don't turn that on, sweetie. It'll mess everything up. It can't. You'll have to listen to what Daddy says. You can hear the last 7 seconds after we hang up.
Okay.
I typically remember my dreams, and they're very vivid. On a Monday, I had a good one.
All right. So, Wilson, take us through your dream and be as detailed as you can be without lying.
I'm not lying. So I'm walking up these beautiful marble stairs in a mansion of some kind of an estate, and then in the dream it's a papal estate, and so it's just sumptuous. The walls have brocade, damask. There's marble everywhere. The marble is luminous. It's almost glowing from within. This giant gorgeous, and this urge within me to tell my friends, like, wow, I've got to tell people that I had this amazing experience. This place is unbelievable. And then I walked out in the front of this cable mansion, and there was a huge colonnade, and the mansion was on a body of water. It felt like the Mediterranean, but it didn't look like the Mediterranean. It was crystal blue. And as I stood in the colonnade and looked left and right, I realized that there was an endless row, almost like when you're looking in a mirror and there's a mirror behind it. There was an endless row of similar mansions extending as far as the eye could see in both directions. And I walked down to the coastline, and there was a group of well-muscled and toned, shirtless people like from a reality show, and they were all about to go snorkeling. And I was invited to go snorkeling, but I was not wearing the appropriate attire to get in the water. And that's pretty much the dream.
Wow. Wilson, that's so you have that all the time?
I always remember my dreams, and I have very vivid dreams, but I don't have that one. I think maybe wandering through beautiful estates is a theme.
Okay.
I don't know where these reality TV show hunks came from.
Well, let's embrace the mystery, right? We don't want to really go into our dreams, because once we start getting into that snake pit, then we don't know what we're going to pull up. Probably a snake.
It's not supposed to be literal, right? This is not...
No, of course not. If you're having literal dreams, you're a psycho. Not to judge, but you are a really bad person.
I don't feel judged.
Okay. Well, thanks, Wilson. Thank you for sharing your dream world with us.
Okay. Peace.
Okay. 201-209-9368. We are dreaming. You are dreaming with Bucci, dreaming with the DJ until the Robin comes. Just tell us what haunts you every night when you go to sleep, watching Murder, She Wrote. Caller, you got Bucci.
Hey, Bucci, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, who's this?
Franco.
Oh yeah. Hey, Franco.
Oh yeah.
How you doing? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm okay.
How's Los Angeles? How are you doing? How are things?
Yeah. I'm just sitting here in my bedroom.
Okay. In the dark, right?
No, there's one light on.
Okay.
Kind of pink.
Oh, that's
nice. It's a mood light.
Appropriate.
It's a bedroom. Come on, man.
Okay, well, I don't know what kind of lights you have in your bedroom. Some people like to turn all the lights on, the overhead lights on, and just so they can see everything.
You know, as a matter of fact, our overhead light burned out a long time ago, and it's just in the bedroom. It's unnerving. It's creepy, so I just have a pink lamp on.
Okay, well, thank you for, I mean, I love the picture. Now, Franco, do you have, I would have to say you have dreams. Do you have a recurring one or one that particularly sticks out for you when you woke up and you're kind of, it's like, it takes you a while to come back to the lucid state?
Well, yeah. This is a recurring dream.
Okay.
I dream about
okay.
work when I used to work in the film industry, and I no longer do. And, well, this is what happened. I'm working on the set, and the phone rings. It's laying on the floor. And my boss tells me to pick it up, and I answer it. And I think this is really prescient for the topic today. And the voice says, "This is Dennis Hopper. Where should I park my car?" And so I hold the phone close to my desk, and I say, "This is Dennis Hopper." He goes, he wants to know where to park. He goes, "Well, you go out in the street and meet him." So I go out in the street, and Dennis and Dean Stockwell are standing next to Dennis's brown Mercedes. And Dennis has a cap on, and Dean has this white brunette. And Dean Stockwell sticks out his hand and goes, "Hi, I'm Dean." And I go, "Yes, I know." And then they have to, we all the three of us go through our pockets to look for enough change to put in the meter so Dennis won't get a ticket. Well, the funny thing about this dream, it wasn't a dream. It really happened. And I was there with Dennis and Dean Stockwell in the middle of the street on a hot summer afternoon. And we were working on a documentary about Marcel Duchamp, and Dennis was interviewed because he had a lot of contact with that world that Marcel Duchamp was in. We were at the Green Hotel in Pasadena, which is where a lot of Marcel Duchamp, Dennis Hopper, and Dennis Hopper stole the sign. We walked around the building, and Dennis pointed, and he goes, "See, you see this sign here? I cut it down with a pair of wire cutters and had Marcel Duchamp sign it, and then it was a ready-made." And now that sign went for, I don't know how many thousands of dollars.
All right.
Anyway,
wow.
That's my story.
That's a pretty good one. That is so that's kind of a blend of dreams and reality.
Yeah, it was dreamlike. That was the funniest thing
dream-like,
about it, but it
yes.
was very real. And I have pictures to prove it because I was the photographer on the set, and I have lots of pictures.
I would love to see your photo of Dean Stockwell. He's the man, and he's in Blue Velvet, right? He's the guy in Blue Velvet.
Yeah, he was Bob.
In dreams I walk with you.
He sang the candy-coated clown. Well, dreams.
Candy-covered clown, they call the salmon.
Yeah. So they're in here someplace. You know, I have pictures of everyone that was on the show. But Dean wasn't. He just sort of sat in the corner and read an art book.
Did you hear that Dennis Hopper's, did his house, I feel like his house was damaged in the fires.
I don't think so. He lived in Venice.
Oh, okay.
I know that much. Right. And Venice was not really hit by the fire.
Franco, I'm glad you're still okay. And thank you for sharing your dark and dream and mixed with a splash of reality.
You're welcome, Bucci.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Bucci, 201-209-9368. We're talking dreams. I want to hear about your interior dream world. I don't want you to lie, but when you fall asleep, did I not hang up this phone? When you fall asleep, and, you know, after tossing and turning and for 3 hours, and you finally fall asleep, and you go into that REM sleep, what do you dream? And who is the real dreamer? Caller, you got your booch, E.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Who's this?
This is C.
C. Like the letter C or the body of water?
Both.
Okay. I'm writing both down because I obey. Bucci obeys. All right, C. Do you want to talk about your dream? Do you have a dream that you particularly want to kind of go through?
Yeah.
Good.
So it was more like a nightmare, personally.
Okay, so see, just take a step, and then we're going to, let's hear it.
So I got an email or call from my high school that said I didn't actually graduate, and I would have to redo all of high school all over again. And this was a problem, because I don't think I'm smart enough to do that anymore.
Okay, and what else? Is that it? Is that the dream? Or does it go into deeper crannies and crevices after that kind of initial thing?
Kind of. I actually did it. I didn't see a problem with doing it in my dream. So I went to class, but it was the wrong class, because I didn't know which room I was supposed to be in, which happened a lot in real life. So it makes sense that it would happen in the dream.
Right.
But my teachers kept yelling at me because, you know, I was late to class because I would be in the wrong class. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Has that gone, like, does that nightmare pass you? Does it stay on the pillow, or does it haunt you throughout the day?
It haunts me. I mean, I guess there's no way of knowing if it's, it could potentially happen in real life.
Yes, yes. And then when it does happen, you have that uncanny valley, like, whoa, I think I've gone through this. This is so real, that Lynchian feeling of the blending of dreams and reality. Like, I feel like I've been through this, but then I know that I haven't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was wondering if my college degree would still be valid, or...
Well, it is. All college degrees obtained in real life are valid in dreams.
That's true.
That is very true. Incredibly true. All right, C, thanks for sharing, period.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Another thing I loved about Lynch was, like, you know, obviously I loved his use of sound. Maybe that's a cliche, but I can't think of another filmmaker who used sound, like, and effectively as he did.
Bucci.
Sound was, like, super integral to the story, as integral as the mid-century modern lamp that sat on the black corner table. Caller, you got Bucci. Hello?
Bucci?
Yeah, oh my God. Hello, who's this?
It's me, Zachary.
Oh, hey, Zachary.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always like you to identify yourself, because I don't want to have the relationship where you just say, it's me, and I go, oh, I know who this is. I'd rather
Do I have to lie? Do I have to say Bucci? I know who you are.
Yes, but you're calling into the show. I'm not calling into your show, which... I know you send me lots of emails asking me to call into your show, but I'm sorry.
You're not going to? You're not going to leave me a voicemail?
Nope. So,
765 Odd Taco? No?
Don't give your phone number out over the air.
Bucci.
All right, Zachary.
That was a bad idea.
What is your dream? Let's just focus on your dream. What is your dream? Do you have one that you'd like to talk about?
I mean, there's so many. One from my childhood I remember doing a lot. There was always flying. There's a lot of neighborhood running around, and then at some point, there'd be some flying. There might have been some Lost Boys influence on there.
Uh-huh.
And then I could see aerially around, as if you were 30, 40, 50 feet in the air, and it looked pretty accurate. And then I remember going to this park, and they had a big tree in the main open area, and you would go into this person's house that lived there, and then it would always change at that point, some sort of monster, scare, unknown, and then usually wake up, fall down the stairs, you know, get drugs in the basement. Yeah, the worst was, I mean, some of these houses need plastering, they throw you in a wall and plaster over you. It was rough.
Wow, that is rough.
Have those nightmares, right, Bucci?
That explains. Nope, I'm a normal person, so I don't know what that was. But you shared too much. Maybe you should have talked to the man in the mirror before calling the man on the other end of the telephone.
True. Hey, love the intro today. Great editing.
Oh, thank you. Thank my uncle. He went out. He went over.
Oh, your uncle's throwing those together
over heels.
Now?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got the bachelor's degree in sound mixing. So I don't know.
Wow.
All right, I have
to get him an honorary doctorate. Thanks,
yeah,
Bucci.
I have to dive back into dream. I have to dive back into dreamland. We are 201-209-9368. We are talking about dreams, and I want to know about some recurring dreams that you've had. I've talked to WFMU's own Joe Magasco, and he has a dream where he's driving in a car, but then he stops and realizes he can't go further. He's in a woodland area, and he has to walk on foot, and that's his dream. Okay. And Scott Williams, WFMU's own Scott Williams, has a dream where he's sitting on a bleacher with an old man. And he's wearing a windbreaker, a pink windbreaker. And
buy a windbreaker?
He is watching a jogger run around a track. And then the jogger falls. There's a horrible sound. That's the sound. And the man falls dead. And then he looks over at the old man, and the man is holding the gun. My God. Caller Igabuchi.
What? Is this me?
Yeah, hello, it's you. You are you. Oh. This is the first thing you've learned on this phone call, that you are you, sir. What's your name?
Good thing to know. Rich.
Huh? All right, Rich, do you have a dream that you want to thrust onto the waking world?
I do.
WW.
It's a recurring nightmare I had for many years.
Okay, why don't you take us through it, and use all the detail that your imagination, but don't lie, your imagination and memory can tell us. Use.
Okay, this is a true story. It's a dream, so it's not really true, but it's true to my dream. And it's like I used to work in Indonesia, and I had this favorite restaurant called Padang. And the Padang restaurant is the best food ever. It's served room temperature, which is 120 degrees in Indonesia, because it's really hot. And it tastes really good. There's lots of fries in the food. You just leave it out, cook it good. Stay in there, fries can eat anywhere. It is the best restaurant. And I would try to go to this restaurant I dreamed. I'd have to work. I couldn't get there. And then I'd get there later at night and be closed. It'd be the first day of my time I was there. And the next day, the same thing. And the next day, and the next day. It was always closed. It was closed. It was a closed story. And then it was my last day. The plane was going. And I could either go to my restaurant, if it was open, or miss my flight. And I have this dilemma. Do I miss my flight? Or do I go to the restaurant? And then I'd wake up in a cold sweat. It happened many, many times.
Wow. All right. That's
sort of dream.
That's a true dream. A lot of true kind of reflections of our own waking lives, huh?
Exactly.
I was hoping not to get those kind of dreams. I was hoping to get more of a deeper, mysterious dream. But everyone has, you know, I can't force you to have a cool dream, you know, take that up with your subconscious, I guess, right, Rich?
You know, the subconscious working overtime too much. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I know. It's not. It needs to form a union, right?
I think my subconscious is in my stomach, so, you know, it's very traumatic.
Bo-bo-bo-chi.
All right, Rich. Thanks so much. Thanks for sharing your dream. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
You're welcome.
201-209-9368, we're talking dreams, and I want to hear your dream and what it means to you, and what do you feel? What is that feeling you feel when you have that dream, and you wake up and you're so relieved because you messed your life up so much in your dream, and you're walking around a cul-de-sac, and you finally go into this house that's all broken up and under construction, and you go up, and your mother's there under a sheet, and you pull back the cover, and it's not your mother, it's your grandmother. And she says, "I'm taken care of, Bucci. Don't worry about me.
Wife.
201-299-9368, and that's my dream, which means nothing. I've talked to 7 therapists, and they've all said, "Yeah, I don't know, probably doesn't mean anything. Sir. Caller Igabuchi.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Who's this?
Ethan.
Hey, Ethan. How you doing?
Good.
Ethan, do you have a dream?
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Oh, I love a nightmare. All right, Ethan, why don't you take us through your nightmare, okay?
Okay.
Go.
So, whenever I had a nightmare, I don't know, at the beginning, but at the end, there would always be this mysterious guy with, like, a suit vest, like a striped suit vest with a red bow tie. And every nightmare at the end, I would see him. And but one nightmare, my parents let him at our house. He was standing at the door. And then 1 second later, he was dead. And from then on, nothing happened. There was no more guy. Yeah, that's my story.
Whoa. What do you think that means there, Ethan? What do you feel? Like, when you wake up, do you decipher it? When you stand at the edge of the bed and kind of looking down at your hands, what do you feel?
He's, like, looking down at my head.
Yeah.
Like, but, just staring at me.
So when you're in school later, do you kind of sit there kind of staring ahead of you and you're still lost in that dream world?
Not really.
The answer is yes.
I remember, like,
definitely
at a theme
does.
Park when I was young, I, like, saw the same exact man.
Whoa. That you saw the exact man?
It looked like him.
Oh, man. Stay away from the man with the red bow tie there, Ethan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is that a Bucci adage? No. All right. Thanks, Ethan. Appreciate it. Call it a Bucci.
Yeah. Hey, Bucci.
Yeah. Hey, who's this?
Hey, can I make a quick comment? Oh, sorry.
You go ahead.
Can I make a quick comment about a scene in a David Lynch film in Mulholland Drive?
Uh-huh, yeah, Mulholland Drive.
And the two guys are sitting at the diner, Winkies.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, he's recalling a dream that he had in Winkies, and that's why he called his friend there. And, he says there's a face that he never wants to see again. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
So it's so cool because in that scene, the guy says that he's recalling his dream. So as the viewer, this is what you're taking in. Mm-hmm. And he says that he can see that face now. He can see the face through the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so as far as Seth said, I've seen the movie. As a viewer, and this recursivity of imagining or recall.
Mm-hmm. Memory, right? Yeah.
I think that's super cool.
Yeah, that's it's a memory, and also it's in the present as well.
Yeah, but you have to imagine.
I don't
what
have
this
to
guy
do anything.
Imagining in his head about what he was dreaming.
Yeah.
It's in that scene in the film as a viewer. So it's a great scene and pretty freaky too.
All right, Seth. Thank you.
Can I tell you my dream?
Very quick, because you already told me your memories of watching Mulholland Drive. So let's just talk about your dream very quickly. Think of a dream that only happened right before you woke up. You know, you're like, and then the alarm goes off. What's your, go ahead.
Well, those could last forever, but real quick. But
better not last
the,
forever.
So you've seen the sitcom Friends, right?
Yes.
And, so there's like the opening of Friends, and I think they're like playing, and the song's playing, and they have umbrellas, and they're like dancing, having fun and stuff. So this dream was basically based on that, and the only context I could conjure is that it was a group of serial killers, because they were dancing and having fun and taking pictures of each other, and but they were wearing skin of other people that was made into clothing, and they were having such a great time. And the music was playing, and flashbulbs going off, and that's it, man. That's the dream I could think of. It's out for interpretation, that's for sure.
All right, thanks, whoever. I forgot, I didn't catch your name, but thanks very much.
West.
Bye. Call it a Gabucci, real quick. What's your dream?
What's up? It's Double G.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's just cut to the dream. What's the dream?
All right, I'm cutting to the dream. So when I was a kid, I would stay at my grandparents' house, and I had this dream where I looked up, you know, in the bed, grandparents' bedroom's empty, kitchen's empty, and I get back to the room, big armoire,
hypnotized.
I'm sorry, and I go into the the wardrobe, and there's a set of stairs inside, and I climb down the stairs, and I come down, and I see my grandfather, but not the grandfather whose apartment it is, but my other grandfather, and he has his back to me, and I reach out, and I just to touch him.
All right.
Hey,
I got to move on, but those are very interesting dreams. Email it to me later. Don't do that. All right, bye. Call it Igabuchi. Oh. Call it Igabuchi. Caller, you have Bucci.
Bucci.
Yeah, hey, what's your dream?
My dream, this is Ethan's dad, by the way.
Oh, hey, Ethan's dad. Oh, yeah, hey.
So, my dream, a recurring dream.
Okay.
I'd be in a movie theater, and there's a bright red carpet in the middle of it, and it's very dark in the theater, and it's lit up. The red carpet is lit up on both sides by those little movie theater floor lights. And I'm walking up the ramp, trying to get out of the movie theater. And my legs keep giving out from under me. But I keep going, keep pressing on. And then there's a guy behind me. Coming after me. Never matter. Grab my shirt. Okay. And make my way. When you have to get your jacket. And get there. And I'm on the
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good to me.
I don't know, is it?
No. Caller, what's your dream?
Bucci, I had a dream constantly when I was growing up, and still to this day, two enormous cubes of unfathomable magnitude.
The Robin.
They're slowly
the Robin's here.
Getting closer and closer the Robin and is closer here. To each other.
It's got Bucci in its mouth.
Terrible.
It's all over.
And it all starts over again.
The dream is nice. All right. Thank you. Wow. Thank you very much for sharing your dreams. Some of you need are so interesting. You have pedestrian dreams, and you also have some really horror shows. But right now, you can stop dreaming of Bucci and start dreaming of the man, Billy Jam, coming up on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online and all the time at WFMU.org. Who listens to Bucci? You do, Chief.